Why are you so good?
How? No.
No. What do you mean, no?
No. I can't believe I have to work.
I know. All right. So we'll do this quick.
I did it to myself. I don't know why I keep doing this. This is what happens when you have great supervisors and great bosses and wonderful.
And you're a great worker and they just want you there 24/7.
Well, yeah, but like, it's more like, I'll do anything for you because you're not a piece of shit, inconsiderate asshole. You know?
On that note, we're not inconsiderate massholes, but we are wicked awkward massholes.
Total assholes.
I'm Man.
Massholes.
She's Joe.
Sup.
Sup. What's that?
All I can think of is Shorty.
I know. Scary movie.
At the end of that blunt.
Yo, if you haven't.
His what, hair on this fire. Shit? His hair on fire.
That movie will always be a classic.
That movie made actual scary movies not scary.
Exactly. And the only good ones are 1 and 2 because the other ones are shit. Yeah. Anyway.
I don't bother.
I love Marlon Wayans.
Sandy,
welcome back.
The TV is leaking! Sorry.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, you need to watch that after you watch The Ring. So you're like, yes, Brenda, get her.
No, I watched that, and then I watched The Ring. The one I will never watch is The Grudge.
Ah.
I did watch The Ring.
You did? Yes.
And but it was after I watched that in Scary Movie, and I was like, ha. So every time she'd grow on the TV, I was like, hey, Sandy, where you at with the mop?
I love when she just holds her head and she's like, wind it up.
Yes, bitch.
Anyway, that's a good time.
What were we saying?
Hi. Welcome.
Oh. Sup.
You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Wayne617 if you want. We're there. We're social.
Sorry. Yeah, we are.
She's dancing, so that's why I'm confused.
Are you excited for later this year? Because not only do we got tickets to Black Veil Brides and In This Moment, but Amanda over here was the real MVP and got us tickets to Fan Expo.
Boston!
Bitch. Listen, and I'm going to the Boston Tattoo Expo, which you need to get your ass there.
Probably,
to shop around, just to go. It's like such a good vibe, and just seeing like the art that's out there. Smacks.
I know.
So, BVB, I can't remember what the date for that was.
It was early November.
November?
Yeah.
All right. So I know the Fan Expo in Boston is Labor Day weekend, the 3rd, 4th, and the 5th, or some shit like that.
Yep.
And then the Tattoo Expo is also, I believe, in Boston. It always is. And that's on the 17th, 18th, and 19th.
Of September?
Of September.
Nice.
Yes. I'm so excited.
I shout out Dan. Reminded me.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be there.
I feel like we should come that day and just record right away with Dan.
But how would we talk about it if we haven't been there yet?
Afterwards.
I got you.
Because, you know, like, these things are always like, you go the very first, like, when you walk in, you're just taking it all in.
It's a lot to take in.
Oh, my God, all the cosplay. Oh, my God, all these people. I feel connected.
Artists.
Yes. And then you gawk at everyone, and then you start shopping around, and you realize that the merch is like, why is this mug $75?
Yep.
And then at that point, you're like, God damn, I'm hungry, but I got to make this line that I'm going to stand in for 35 minutes.
Yep.
And at that point, I'm just like over it.
Yeah, I know. But what does make it worth it is the celebrity.
So now here's the thing, right?
I pulled them up.
Oh,
who's going to be there?
I solves the list.
Yeah.
I solves it. I sees it.
I seen it. So besides your men, we have Christopher Eccleston, yeah, I can't say his name. He was the ninth Doctor on Doctor Who.
I can't get into
And he was the elf lord thingy from that Marvel, that guy. Oh, what movie was that?
Elf Lord?
What the hell movie? Dan, I need you!
Oh my God!
It was in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It was in the MCU.
All right. Dan? You IMDb
Yeah, Chris.
I know that.
Eccleston. The Dark World. Thor to the Dark World.
I need a photo. Dark World?
Yes.
Is that Thor one?
Thor, yes, the Dark World.
No, you can't be meaning who I think you mean. Is that the dude with the headdress? That's not him.
No, not the headdress.
No, yeah, the one that put tar all over his face, that's not the guy.
Hang on.
That's someone different. I know exactly who that is.
I'm pulling it up.
Ain't that dude. I need a piece of gum.
Gum?
Yeah.
He played John Lennon. This guy.
Oh, that son of a bitch.
Yeah.
That guy was super aesthetically pleasing to look at.
That's what I'm saying. Like, look at his nose.
Damn.
Anyway, right. Billy Piper, who was also in Doctor Who. John Barrowman, who was also in Doctor Who and Arrow.
Yes, he was.
And then the reason why we're going is Mark Boone Jr., who was in Sons of Anarchy.
And American Satan.
Yep. Ryan Hurst.
Who was in Sons of Anarchy, American Satan, and The Walking Dead.
And Remember the Titans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And Mr. Ron Perlman.
Who's in Hellboy, Sons of Anarchy, and God, I don't even know where else to go.
And James Marsters from Buffy.
Dude, Spike. All
yeah.
day.
Yeah. Chandler Riggs from Walking Dead. Michael Rooker from Guardians of the Galaxy and The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. Patrick Warburton, who's been around. Voice of Kronk.
Oh, God. If I need to take a picture with anyone, it has to be that dude. And we have to do the pose. Yo, I bring that guy up every single fucking day at work.
I know.
At work. Up to the point where now my coworkers are invested. I'm like, open the door. And she's like, no. Pull the lever, Kronk. And that's literally where we're at. And then we recite the whole fucking scene. It's terrible.
That movie's good. A lot of Office people. Like,
yes,
The Office.
But not
one,
John.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people.
John.
Including David Ketchner.
So here's the thing.
Wait, there's one more. Brendan Fraser.
Oh, dude. I can't even. Can we just slip in my business cards and be like, listen to this episode specifically?
Yeah.
Please. So here's the thing, right? Like, that's all great. But we're not going to see any of these guys.
Well, no, we can still see them with our eyes.
Yo, from like a distance, like
Wait,
half a football field away.
Hold up. You're telling me that we're going to go see Opie's face and you're not going to get in line and buy an autograph from him?
No.
You're not?
No.
Why?
Because he's not Johnny Depp.
What that? They have nothing to do together.
No, you don't understand. There are some celebrities that is worth me doing that.
I thought you'd be jazzed about
them
three.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. So, actually, this comes before. Actually, I can also get that online. So, I've always wanted to get the phrase, the quote, I got this. Because it's what Opie says right before that tragic moment. And it would be wonderful if it was signed by Ryan Hurst. And since I have a tattoo appointment coming up afterwards, but I can literally get the autograph from Wikipedia. It has when you look up an actor on Wikipedia,
it has
their signature.
But you don't want the signature. You have to have him write,
I got this.
You don't want a photo with them?
Look, I would... I can't justify paying for a photo or a signature.
True. Well, I can't either. Yeah. But Daniel, thank you, Dan, booked a photo op by accident with Kevin Conroy, who was the voice of Batman on animated series.
Okay.
So
that is a legend.
That's what I'm saying. He
Ryan
offered
Hurst
it to me, but I was like,
no. Ryan Hurst is in that legend status, and like he's not there yet. That's what I'm saying. Johnny Depp, Tim Burton.
True.
Oh, God, I paid all the monies.
If Charlie Hunnam was there... Would you?
I would totally consider it. I would consider it like
they're
I'd be
not
like,
chief.
Oof. No, they're not. That's why I can't justify for a signature.
True.
That's why I don't ever pay for VIP access. And if I can't justify for a signature and I'm also not photogenic, like
stop. It's not for anybody else but you.
Yeah, no, bitch. I'm trying to show that look at that time that I went and then I'm looking there like a It's not PC
later.
To say this word, but like a retard.
Yeah, a retard.
Because I don't want to finish the word, but it's just, I don't photograph well.
Neither do I.
And I'd like to be that cool ass bitch, but you know, my Andy Black run-in didn't go so well, so now I'm nervous.
You are drunk. And he walked a foot in front of you.
Yo, he literally breathed. I felt the breeze.
And he smells so good.
Good God, what was that?
I don't know, but I just remember being like, I feel like... They should be taller.
Like, I want to make sex to whatever that smell is.
Yeah. 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 Basically.
He was pretty fucking tall, though. He was taller than me for sure by at least 3 inches.
Was he? Maybe it was the other dudes with him.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like Andy is at least, like, between 6'2". But Ryan Hurst is, like, 6'5".
Yeah, that dude is big.
And I feel like Mark Boone probably smells really good.
Yeah.
Like, he's a dirty man that smells amazing.
Probably.
Like, has dirt under his fingernails, but it smells like fucking high-end deliciousness.
I just want to see him with my eyes. Like, yeah. That's all. Yeah. I was so happy when we went to that one in 18, I think it was, before COVID.
Yeah, it was the, that was the makeshift of, Comic-Con.
Yeah.
So, you know what really pissed me off about that?
What?
And what is going to piss me off about this, too, is that there is amazing, legendary voice actors there.
Yeah.
And I didn't know any of it.
I know.
And you know what? I don't know
any of the voice actors besides Kevin Conroy that are going.
Yeah.
No. I mean, obviously, like, you know the characters, but...
you told me that the voice from Rick and Morty were going, yo, I need it.
Yeah?
I
don't know who those people are.
I don't know either. That's not the point.
Oh, my God.
When we went to Naruto, we're so excited. And, like, the voices, obviously, whatever. And then I find out that the voice that does... that the person that voices Naruto is a woman.
That's like finding out that a woman voiced Tommy Pickles from Rugrats. Ooh. You're like, what is that?
I'm saying, you know? It's like or what's the dude that does Peter Griffin's and everyone
Seth
else?
Seth MacFarlane, yeah.
Yeah, like, that's legendary. Like, I would fucking pay for that. Yeah. But everyone that you just named there, like, Ryan Hurst, I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, if it, like, depends on the price. But if we're talking more than $100 for a photo op, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
I pay, like, $50.
But like I said, I just want to see him.
I know. Catch a glimpse.
Yeah.
Because they're wicked strict about, like...
you can't take photos of him from a distance. Yeah. And I somehow made it work to get Feeny.
Yo.
Mr. Feeny.
But then we also saw that, like, they sat down and talked.
At a panel.
And we were able to see through the...
yeah.
Things. But, yeah, there's really nobody in there. Even Ron Perlman, who's, like...
he's a big deal.
Big dude. Yeah. But I'm just like, nah.
I just, like I said, I think it'll be fun. As much as it sucks to be enthronged with a shit ton of people, I like seeing the artists.
Post-COVID.
Yeah. God. I might wear a mask.
No, I'm good.
You're good?
Yeah, I'm over it.
Oh my God. But spending a shitload of money on shit you don't need, but you love.
I think that we should probably plan for a Comic-Con in California.
Talk about or big
bucks. Fan Expo in California. I think that we should plan on that for the future. Because I definitely... or New York. Like a big...
bigger.
Yeah, because Comic-Con came and went. And like we got like a ghetto version of it here in Boston. Because we don't have venues that are... you know what I mean? Like, it's just like the towny nerds. I don't know how else to explain it. But it's like you go to California and it's just like, yo... not only do you go there and you experience, like, legitimate, like, awesome... and that we've seen some dope-ass shit at our stuff.
Yeah.
Here in Boston. But I feel like California is a whole different experience. That's like if you went to Anime Japan in Japan. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's different.
Like, it's... right. So if you go to a fan expo in California...
and you're gonna have a lot more celebrities.
Not only that, but it's like, alright, you get to see celebrities at the venue and outside the venue. I saw a TikTok of this lady who had a mental breakdown at the red light, and when she looked over...
what was it?
Jamie Dornan was there watching her. The guy that played Christian Grey.
Can you find that for me?
Dude, that was like a week ago. Oh, she was so mortified, and she's like wiping away her tears, and she's like, I'm out here because I had a mental breakdown, but now I can't stop laughing because in the middle of me just sobbing and going crazy, I look over and the dude from Christian Grey was just staring at me. Welcome to California.
Oh my God.
She was so salty about it.
That's hilarious,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, my but, God. I fucking love that.
But I think that we should probably plan on doing something like that. Save our pennies.
I've been to San Diego, and I saw the convention center, and so...
huge.
Love the area. It's so nice. But see,
maybe we should open up a Patreon again and save our pennies so that our listeners can send us to
California. Oh, my God. That'd be cool. But they actually have, like, boats, like, that ferry people over to the convention center.
Oh, I can't do that. I get so sick.
Well, we wouldn't have to, depending on where the hotel is. Yeah.
Or the Airbnb with our budget.
Oh, yeah. I don't.
Or the shelter, homeless shelter.
It's the only thing that I'll sleep on the street. I don't give a
shack
shit.
The tent that we're going to have to pop up on the sidewalk on Skid Row.
Just find a Planet Fitness to take a shower. That's all good.
Oh, God.
Oh, that'd be fun.
We're going to have to get a job for those 3 days that we're
there. I don't mind. I work at Starbucks. I don't give a shit.
But I'm excited for those events.
Yeah, so we'll be there just on the Saturday, the September 4th.
Yeah.
So,
and I'm only going to the convention, the tattoo convention on that Sunday. So,
I'm excited.
I am too.
All right. Speaking of
oh, what are we doing?
Hot men who like sex. Priest.
Oh God.
Because of Christian Grey.
Okay. Jesus Christ.
Let's get this over with.
I put you onto this.
You did. It was a few episodes.
And I meant to read it myself, but like I said last week, my schedule is just fucked.
So, Drain.
Yes.
You and who is it at work that you have the little book club with?
Pamela.
The two-person book club. You were like, let's read Priest.
Neither one of us has read it.
And I was like, yo, I'm going to read it because it sounds dirty.
You're the only one.
I'm the only one.
We went on to Neon Gods, which is after 100 pages, I think. I put it down because I was like, this is not it for me. And she finished it and she's like, that was bullshit. So now she's on to a different story that she's very confused by and she's probably going to put it back down. And I did tell her that you read Priest and she died. And I was like, why haven't we started Priest?
Yeah.
So I think that's what we're starting up next.
Okay, good. Because, I mean, it's on Kindle for like $1.29.
Yeah, I think I bought all three for like $7.
Hold that thought. So Priest, if you forgot... you did it so well, the way you introduced it. Like, you were just saying, like, I'm here for it, holy man. Like,
oh, God,
get here,
yes.
Holy man. Yeah.
Come here, yeah. Holy man.
So, it's basically like a young 27-year-old priest or whatever.
Yeah.
And this woman comes into his confessional, and his dick is like, yo, you need to hit that. But he's celibate. What?
Did it explain at all why he went into that?
Yeah, because the book is told from his perspective.
Yeah.
So it's him telling the story, except for those parts where, like, when she's in confessional, it'll go in italics and it'll be from her point of view, but it's not often it does that.
Okay.
And what the fuck is his name? His name is Tyler.
Sure.
Her name is... I don't know.
That's fine. So here's my question. So you're telling me that this entire book is internal monologue?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's why I think I liked it, because it was salacious from beginning to end. I mean, people liken it to 50 Shades, right? Because it's erotica, basically.
Yeah, but only when she's with Christian. Every other part of that isn't.
Yes, that's the same here.
Okay, so he's having dirty thoughts during different confessionals and while he's like...
Correct.
Body of Christ, blood of Christ.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sorry.
I don't know what... It was almost like the way she spoke and like he always talked about her lipstick and he would look at her and be like, I want to fucking slam that against my altar. Like, he... There was some type of energy between them that, like,
chemistry.
They needed to fuck each other. Is basically, like, all that was. But, so after a confession, he, like, they're in the church, right? And they step out, and they're discussing. And then there's this magnetism. And he's, like, in his head, he's, like, yo, I can't do this. My dick is hard. But I can't be, like...
Because I'm a holy man.
Because I'm a holy man.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, it's so hard to explain.
Holy man needs his nut.
Yeah.
That's it,
but
bruh.
The first time they're together, he does not insert anything into anywhere, but he's, like, fingers, tongue, all over her pussy.
I'm sorry, because when I was growing up, they were like, even if you masturbate, that's sex.
Basically, he was like, I got by. But they had...
This is like your...
She was wet.
Catholic school girl, like, if it's anal, it's okay. That's what he was doing.
Basically. Mm-hmm. But, so they had their fun, and she, like, girl got off, okay? But it was, like, this whole thing of, like, yeah, they're magnetized, but they can't date because...
It's forbidden.
So he would, like, at night, he'd like crawl over to her house and like sneak in, and they'd have their moments, and then
because God sleeps at night,
basically.
Okay.
But oh yeah, dude broke his vow, right?
And so even after the axe, is he still going to putting on white collar and everything?
Oh yeah.
Oh God. Yeah. See, this is why you can't trust nobody. God.
Basically, the whole story is them and his fight with himself. Of, you know, giving a vow, taking a vow to God or to this woman.
I mean,
nothing really happens. But I will say the scenes where they're intimate. I don't want to say it was bad writing because that shit worked. Like, you get horny off that shit.
Okay.
But the way that he internalized it, she did a lot of good analogies. Like, he saw God while they were...
I'm sure that he did at his first nut.
But it was an interesting way that she wrote it, so that it wasn't just like, yo, I slid my fingers in there, and bam, 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 we're done.
Like, it wasn't raunchy? No, that's not what I'm trying to say.
It was sexy, but it wasn't bad writing. Like, it wasn't just like, was wham, like, bam, thank you,
was
ma'am.
Was it like weird, like, him discovering, like, oh, shit, this might be the holy grail that I've been...
Yeah.
No pun intended.
But he's like, yo, I saw the sun and it like rained down on us and like I saw, like he was just very,
Amanda, that's very descriptive.
Yeah.
That's a lot of the sexy books. That's why they do what they do. That's why they leave you with the butterfly emoji on your kitty emoji.
Yeah. So I liked it in that regard, I guess.
Was this your first book like this?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Well, I'm sure it was, because I don't think there's anything out there that's
with a priest,
quite like
this. However,
my
so...
My first time with the priest.
I will say, though, it... There is this part where, like, his predecessor was... I don't know if he was arrested or not, but he was kind of, like, shoved out because he had, like, relations with... Like, he sexually abused a minor.
Of course, there had to come up.
So, when he came in, he was, like, he came into the community to basically say, like, priests are good. And he actually, he led men groups.
This was his mission?
Yeah. Like, this is why he became a priest. So, and he increased the youth group and to, like, and then he had a men's group to kind of discuss anger, relations to women.
Wow.
And that increased. So he was building this, like, really strong...
And if anyone finds out about what he's been doing, it's all gonna go to shit.
Exactly. So that's where I like the complexity.
Yeah.
And it, so it's not just sex all the time. It's like, there's something about this woman, but I also want to do this for the community.
Did you feel like... You saw his point of view when it came to this woman? Or was she to you just like a regular Jane Doe? Like nothing special.
Yeah. To me, but to him, she wasn't.
So, I hate to bring this up because I know that you hate it.
What?
But I binged all the Twilights.
Yeah.
And then I proceeded to find a whole thing on, like, the shit that people have been saying on Twitter about Twilight.
Yeah.
So it was just, like, all vampires and wolves, and this is the chick that they fall in love
with.
Right, like, which was kind of my thought the whole... Like, why is it always the very plain Jane? And I guess as a plain Jane... I'm not a plain Jane. But,
So, basically, her story is that she came from a very extremely well-to-do family, and she wanted to dance, like, professionally. Kind of like ballet, like very professional, okay. Like stage dancing. And so she was kind of raised to be a goody two shoes. And the whole reason why she moved out, and I forget what her, her occupation was, but she basically wanted, her occupation is she's a stripper.
There it is.
So basically her whole story
is walks with sexuality on her sleeves.
Right. And not only that, but like when they're together, like she just wants him to say the most worst things you can say to a woman. But he doesn't really feel that way, but his like animalistic side comes out. Like we were talking about in last episode. His animal like Primal, that's the one I'm looking for.
So here's the thing about that, because I get that.
Yeah.
Right? I love watching people who are always in control and very calm lose their ever-loving shit.
Mm-hmm.
It brings joy to me.
Yeah.
It satisfies me like nothing ever has before. So if you're that person that walks around like that never gets angry, I'm going to find your buttons.
Oh, yeah, because everybody's got buttons.
I'm
going
to slam my fist into all of your buttons until you blow the fuck up. And next thing you know, you're probably choking me to death, but like, I kind of like that too.
That cartoon?
So I get it, but it's just like...
Poppy. Her name's Poppy.
That's a stupid-ass fucking name, but okay. Is that her stripper name?
Nope.
Okay, then. A stripper goes to church?
Yep. Yep.
Tay.
Because it's almost like she wanted to rub some dirt on her pristine life. On her pristine upbringing.
And she had to rub her dirt on his life, too? Like...
Whatever she wanted, he had.
I just... My...
I will say this, though, before you continue. You bought all three.
I did.
The second one has zero to do with them.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. It's his brother.
He was also a priest?
Nope. His brother falls in love with a nun. So the sinner.
See, that's sick.
Yep. So I'm just warning you now. I don't know about the third one, but at the end of Priest, it had like a
blurb, intro or whatever.
Yeah, too. And I was like, oh, I thought it was gonna be a continuation because at the end of Priest, I was like, well, that's kind of like a whole story. Bing, bang, boom, middle, beginning,
it finished
end. Yeah.
It. Okay.
Well, so the second one is his brother falls in love.
Honestly,
with
they were so fucking cheap. Like it's one day I know I'll get bored and I'll just pick it up. I hate that. Books like this begin with this very physical, superficial attraction. I'm not saying that I don't, like, I get the point of it, but I just need something else to
grab onto.
I just need a little more padding.
Yeah.
And I would like...
Well, that's why I don't read that stuff, is because there's no story.
I would like it if it started from, and I hate to say it this way, but like an actual place of like appreciation and romance.
Yeah.
Because I feel like stories that begin like this, where it's just like, oh, we see each other from across the room, and suddenly it's like, oh my God, you're so fucking hot, I want you to just fuck me in the bathroom. It usually just ends there. And if it continues on from there, very rarely does it end on a good note.
Yeah.
So it just...
This was interesting, though, because he never saw her until after her confession. So, like, he was in the confessional and she came in after somebody.
Right.
So it was based on their conversation.
Right.
And what she was saying. And then when he's like, yo. So then when they came out, there was, like, already something there before they saw each other. But still, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, like, it's just amplified once they... I don't know. Maybe I'm just, like...
No, you're right.
My thing is realism.
Yes, I know it is.
If it's not... Sorry, I just, like...
That no,
just,
I get you. You need the realism.
Fucking cliche. Even though there's a fucking priest involved, it's cliche.
Oh, hell yeah.
Just like sex life was.
Yeah.
Super fucking cliche. I understood that. But, like, the ex-boyfriend... Those are just two hot people fucking forever. And because the sex was so good, that's what held you together. Like, that's the consistency of your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So is that what this was? So it was, that's what started it. And then just like in 50 Shades of Grey, you just started finding more and more things that you liked about this person. So, oh my God, it just happened to work out.
No.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, well, that's why I don't really read this stuff, is because there's no substance.
There isn't. Thank you, that's the word I was looking
there
for.
There isn't a lot with Priest, but it's a lot... The writing is not terrible.
I like the complexity. I like that he has that inner struggle.
There is, like, throughout the whole thing, inner struggle.
But also, like... You can't fucking control yourself?
Yeah.
You've controlled yourself this long, and then all of a sudden, this one person just... That was it for you? Just totally made you abandon all of your priorities and everything you've worked. And I feel like that's so toxic. Oh my God, yeah. I'm going there. I'm not doing this. No, I'm doing it.
All right.
I am doing it.
Oh,
like,
God.
That's so toxic. Like, you're okay with staying with someone who basically is tempting you to abandon all your fucking morals and values and turn your life upside down, unless those weren't really your morals and values to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, were you just confused when you chose this path?
Probably.
Because I'm assuming, if it was all wrapped up in a nice bow, that he's no longer a priest at the end of this.
No.
Wonderful.
His choice, but
she's still a stripper? Yeah. Of course she is! Of course she is! What a selfish bitch! I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional.
She does end up leaving so that he wouldn't have to choose, but he still ends up choosing. I know. So, I'll leave you with that.
Your significant other should be motivating you and pushing you to reach your dreams and your best version of yourself, mm-hmm. not fucking...
Basically, everything you're saying is something that he thinks about.
Entire mission just goes to shit.
Yeah. So, that's Priest. We talked way too long about that.
Nah, it's all good. So, tell me about Heist. Because I know that we talked about that a few weeks ago.
Yeah, it was one of our up-and-coming we talked about. Yeah. Heist on Netflix.
Yeah.
6 episodes.
That's lengthy for Netflix. For a documentary. Yeah,
but here's why. It's because it's 3 different heists.
Oh!
And each one has 2 episodes.
You just flipped me
I
off.
I did, I'm sorry. So, each story...
Why? Did your fingers just stroke out?
I was saying, there's 3, and then there's... subliminal messaging? I don't know. So what they do really well reminded me of something else, where the first episode in whatever would be like the heist itself, and then the second episode would be about the catch, the law enforcement involvement, like the
The arrest. Cool. Yeah.
Which reminds me of there's a movie out there called The Great Train Robbery, and it's a 2-part series. It's like a one movie, two movie duology. That's the word I'm looking for.
Okay.
And it's with Luke Evans. I fucking love that man.
Yeah.
And it's a heist in England, like back in the day, where they literally robbed a train of money. But the first episode was the heist, the planning, all of that stuff, the people involved, and the second one was all about the chase.
Wrath of Man did that.
Yeah. But it was 2 different movies.
Yeah, so this was just one whole movie, but I like when they do that.
So Heist did that, which I thought was really well done. So 3 different heists. The heists are some dude stole and sold expensive bourbon and other high-end liquor.
Okay.
The other one was a couple falls in love, young, impressionistic woman, this guy... she worked for, like, a Brinks armor truck thing mm-hmm. and convinced her to... It was in Vegas. It wasn't Brinks. It was Loomis.
But it was a truck. It was
an armor truck.
A cash truck.
And they would get all the cash off a plane. And that money goes into the ATMs and, like, the casinos in Vegas.
I can't even imagine how much money is just sitting in Vegas.
I forget how... Well, yeah. But in that truck, it was, like, millions of dollars into ATMs. So when there's 2 guys that would take 2 bags, and they would go into the casinos to exchange the money in the ATM. So she was in the truck all by herself.
Yes.
And then she just ran off with the truck. Oh. And he shipped the money to himself in, like, Florida, I think it was. Yeah, Miami. And then she, like, pretends to be an old lady. They got in a private jet, and they went to Miami to escape. That was another one. You good?
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead. It's a notification from my contacts, which I don't understand because... No, continue, please.
I'm trying to think. And then
what's the third heist?
Oh, that was the dudes who, it was another armored truck situation, but it was at an international airport. Money would come in and then sit in a warehouse for them to count. So then, before it went onto the armored truck, so they wanted to boost. They always left, like, the warehouse door open. So okay. They would just, like, run in, grab the bags into a truck, and gone. So they weren't really in the armored truck or whatever. They just, like, ran into the warehouse and grabbed the money and left.
Okay.
So those were the 3 heists, all separately told. So well done. Like, I don't know if it was the editor or the director, the way they pieced just, like, images together and the music was so well. The reenactments were so on point.
Oh, they did reenactments?
Yeah.
Nice.
It was good.
And obviously it was people involved in the heist and then...
That were being interviewed. Yeah. Except for the first one where it was the guy and the girl and she was the armored truck driver.
The second one.
So the girl being interviewed that you thought was the person involved was actually an actor, and you didn't find out until the very end, and I was like, whoa, that wasn't her?
So where is she?
They did interview her, but she didn't want to be shown.
Oh.
So, but you didn't know that till the very end, and I was like, what? Like, you would have totally believed this woman was the woman. You know what I mean?
Wow.
It was very well done. Aesthetically pleasing with the music, the editing. It was just beautiful.
I started watching
the way they, I know, but I feel like the way they set you up with who the people are, why they did what they did, how they got away with it or didn't get away with it. Again, why they did it. Like, what was their purpose? Was it money? Was it to...
I'm assuming.
What absolutely killed me was in... It was the second one with the dudes running into the warehouse. The whole reason why they were stealing money was because the main, like, thinker, the main brains of the operation... Yeah. They wanted, his wife couldn't, she had so many miscarriages, aww. And they really, 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 like, all her purpose in life was to be a mom, but to adopt a baby was, like, 30 grand, so he was stealing money so they could adopt a baby. That was,
dude,
like,
when you say, I'll rob a bank for you, bitch.
Yeah. Ooh. But it, like, exploded because it was a lot of money, and he ended up, like, things happened where he got into it, like, in his head, so it wasn't really about, like, adopting a kid anymore to him. It was more like get the most money and
yeah, so it, like, got it's like to him. It's almost like, well, if I'm already gonna steal 30 grand, right, might as well go for 50, but if I'm already going for 50, might as well just add another 50.
Yeah, exactly.
That sucks.
It was something like 7 million, I think they
that
stole.
Happened in what was that movie with Ben Affleck and Charlie Hunnam where they went to steal from
Final Frontier, Triple Frontier.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened, and then they all fucking died because they're idiots.
Well, nobody died here, so it was a good thing.
Oh, well, that's good.
It's real life, you know? But I will... if you like heist shit...
This is it.
Beautiful. I will say, if you actually like the movie Casino, like, the aesthetic of it, I feel like it's very reminiscent of that. Mm. Like, it's just... Beautiful.
I feel like Netflix does a really good job with their docuseries.
Yeah.
They're so good, which makes sense because it's like they're great at telling their stories for for most movies. So.
Yeah.
But the
I
fact
will
that
say, I was intrigued beginning to end. Yeah.
Documentaries are based on real shit. So
yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah. So
what else did
100%
you?
Recommend. I'd give it like a solid 8 wicked. So
nice.
And then one more thing I watched. Which is very recent.
I saw this too, and I was intrigued, but I didn't start it.
Dr. Death.
Dropping the fucking ball.
I've done it before. I only push myself because I'm like, I gotta watch it.
I don't know why Dr. Death, for whatever reason, is giving me Hannibal vibes, even though I know it's not even.
Not close.
I was gonna say, please don't tell me that.
No.
That's
it's very much grounded in realism.
Is this one of those hero complex things where he was like trying to kill people and then bring them back to life, so he seemed like a hero?
No, babe.
Ooh.
No. If I don't want to say this without it being confirmed, but I'm pretty sure it's based off of Dr. Kevorkian.
No, this is based off a true story for sure.
It is, but I think that's what it is based off.
Oh,
of.
Specifically?
Yeah. Let me just read the, basically, it's on...
You found it.
Oh, just kidding. Okay.
No, it's based off a real doctor, right?
Yeah. Okay, just kidding. Okay. Alright, it's good to know. What happened was... I thought it was Kevorkian, but it's not.
No.
Dr. Christopher Dunch. Oh my god, that just scared the shit out of me. Your poster fell.
Oh, sorry.
I was like, what's that?
You scaring yourself.
I'll keep talking while you fix. So Dr. Death is on Peacock, so it's free, people. Peacock is free. Unless you, I think they do have a premium side where you pay to not see ads. But the ads are, like, just 45 seconds long in total.
Not like Hulu, where they totally take advantage and give you, like, 3-minute ads.
No.
For, like, a minute and a half.
They space it out so that each break is no longer than 45 minutes, which is... I mean, 45 seconds, which is nice. Okay. Anyway. So, yeah. Peacock is free. And it's called Dr. Death. It stars Joshua Jackson. As
I do remember that
Dr. Dunch, who is our main man of focus. We also have Mr. Alec Baldwin as Dr. Robert Henderson, and Christian Slater, who plays Dr. Kirby.
And do we not hate Alec Baldwin anymore? Who am I thinking of?
He was kind of a douche there for a bit.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Kelsey Grammer is in this, and Sophia Robb, who was in Bridge to Terabithia and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the blonde girl.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, basically what happens is Dr. Christopher Dunch is, I don't really know what his thing is yet. He kind of has this thing where he knows what to do, but his body doesn't do it. So, like, when they give an example, when he was in college and playing football, he knew the play.
Okay.
Like, split to the right to get the gap.
But he can't execute?
He can't execute. He will literally go straight, and his
I'll give you a good example.
What?
That's like when you have a picture or an image in your head, and you're trying to draw it, and it's just not happening.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Gotcha.
So,
I think I'm going to eat this Twizzler.
Eat the Twizzler. He was accused, so why it's called Dr. Death is he was accused of injuring 33 out of 38 patients in less than 2 years in Texas medical areas. So,
how did he get his medical degree?
Well, this is literally the entire, like, what's happening, because he went to school, he graduated to get a PhD and an MD. But when it came to the actual, like, real life getting into people, like, sawing into people.
Your clinical. Nothing?
He has this complex. He has a wicked bad god complex.
They all
where he's like, yo, I'm gonna fix you. You're gonna be walking again. Like, you're gonna be dancing with your grandkids. But then he gets in there and he, like, purposely fucks up so that these people either die or they're paralyzed for their entire life.
He just botches it?
Yeah, but so the whole reason why the two doctors, Christian Slater and Alec Baldwin, they are, like, doctors. They're surgeons. And they are the ones who have had to fix his botched surgeries. So, like, he fucks up these patients and they try to help to fix them. But the problem is, they can revoke his license for one hospital, but he'll just go to another.
Yeah.
So their whole thing is they want to build a case that he's doing this on purpose.
To take him to court?
He even made his best friend a quadriplegic. And what he does is he's a neurosurgeon, so a lot of these surgeries are him, like, trying to remove discs in the vertebrae.
Yeah.
And
he fucks up the nerves.
Not only that, but he'll, like, either put a device in wrong, or he'll, like, he's supposed to go one inch to the left, but he goes, like, one inch to the right. You know what I mean? So it just completely, like, and the doctors are literally in there telling him, like, the nurses that assist, they're like, he's bleeding a lot.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Are you sure this is a medical condition that he has, or is he just doing this shit maliciously?
Well, that's what they're trying to prove.
Because he sounds like a psychopath.
Yeah. No, yeah. But they also show this thing, like, when he was in college, when he was playing football, he would, like, say, no, I'm going to do it. But he would be so persistent. It's almost like there's a disconnect in his brain and he's trying to work through it where he needs to get it now. He needs to fix it now.
Sounds like an OCD thing.
Yes. But he also wants to, like, be, he wants to have achievements. He wants to be number one all the time. And it's almost like his body can't. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. He wants to be the best football player ever, but he can't. He was on the...
like someone with a heart problem wanting to be the fastest runner on the team.
Exactly. Like,
you can't fucking physically do that shit.
Yeah, but he still will do it. So he's basically trying to do these surgeries to get it right, but he's killing people in the meantime.
Good Christ.
So he is doing it on... So when he made his friend a quadruplet, he's like, yo, bro, sorry, peace out. And that was it. So basically what these two doctors are trying to do is prove that he did this on purpose, and he'll keep continuing it unless that he goes to jail.
How many episodes are there?
There's 8. And I'm on... I've watched 6, so I don't know how it ends. But when I tell you that I love Christian Slater so much...
Yeah.
He plays that doctor that's like... Instead of saying, hi, my name is Dr. Christopher Dunch, MD, PhD, all the
bullshit,
titles. He
yeah.
goes, hey, I'm Randy. But he has this very, like, outgoing...
Have a doctor
he's
like
you.
That.
He doesn't have a filter.
Yeah.
So no matter who he's talking to, he gives it to you straight. But he's also really annoying. So he's, like, the annoying intelligent doctor versus Alec Baldwin's, like, straight-laced professional.
Like Dr. House and his boy.
Exactly. And it's, I love that symmetry between them because, yeah, I'm kind of not a fan of Alec Baldwin, but Christian Slater is just so fucking funny. And their dynamic together, I'm like, that's, I like really this. Good. Sorry. Huh. So, I will say, love it. Absolutely, yeah, love it.
You're here for it.
I mean, you know the dude goes to jail because the very first shot of it is him in a prisoner outfit.
I'm surprised that this is on Peacock, though.
I know.
Just on Peacock?
There is sex. There is nudity. You see a full schlong.
Oh,
so.
God. Didn't we get enough of those with life?
It was
whatever?
Just for a second.
You know what I didn't know? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I won't say anything until you're done.
Mom, done?
Yeah.
So, Joshua Jackson.
Yeah.
Amazing. I'm glad that he's back. The only thing I hate is that they make him look heavier. And, like, when it's, like, a year later. And they get, I don't know, like, the piece they give him to make his face look fatter just doesn't work out.
Yeah.
But other than that, the acting is amazing. The story, I'm intrigued. I love Christian Slater, maybe a little bit too much now. I'm here for it. So, I, honestly, so far, I'd give us, like, an 8, 8.5, 9 maybe. It was
That's
just
awesome.
It's good. So if you like medical shit, this is it.
It's like a dark,
but also like medical crime.
I was just gonna say it's like a dark, I wanted to say Grey's, but it's not.
You know who else is in it? I forgot to say Azazel, the yellow eyed demon from Supernatural, is his dad. Yeah. Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah. So I'm here for it.
Okay.
100%. Yeah,
I would download Peacock. I would.
You're gonna like it.
Of course I would. Why wouldn't I?
And it's definitely,
and
a lot more
than... I can go to that
than...
one doctor at the hospital and be like, maybe you should watch this.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have one that's just... We had a guy that went in for, it was something to do, like, removing a thyroid, something in his throat, and usually that should just be, like, a little...
Yeah.
And, he got... I forget the actual medical term for it, but basically, like, his skin started to die. And they had to remove a huge patch of skin from his back to create this gigantic... It's like necrotitis, something fasciitis or whatever. It's like your skin's dying. Anyways, it went from, like, all under his jaw, down his neck, and across his chest. And this guy looked like Frankenstein's monster only because this one doctor botched the surgery.
Oh, my God.
And when I saw this man, when I tell you that every fucking nurse had told me at that point, like, this doctor needs to retire because this is not the first patient that has come to us looking like this.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Yeah. And the whole thing about Dr. Death is that he had the credentials. He had references, but when it came to actually doing the work... Like, it was all based on his qualifications.
So here's the people forget
this.
So
they look past it.
People forget this, including myself, right? So back when I used to talk about, like, being a nurse or whatever, and I was like, I'm not a great student. One nurse opened my eyes, I'm about to do it to all of yous, with one phrase. Mm. He said, C's get degrees. Just because you have an RN, NP, PA, MD at the end of your fucking name does not mean that you passed medical school with flying colors.
Exactly.
You could have passed by the skin of your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought of that.
Yeah.
And now that I know that, I'm like, oh, I need to see your grades.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Where's your transcript?
Yes. What was your GPA, sir? Because if it was a 1.8, I don't want it.
That's this whole thing, because he came highly recommended.
On paper, it looks dope,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And so this really big hospital took him. It was a weird situation where he has his own clinic, but then he would have a fellowship or something, a residency or whatever, in the big hospital. So he didn't, like, work in the hospital. He just did his surgeries in the hospital. I forget what that's called.
How do you have a clinic?
Fellowship?
Well, you need a fellowship.
No, that's a lie. It was like a partnership.
So your residency is when you are a doctor. So it's like when you graduate from medical school with your doctor degree, but you still need to complete 5 years of residency.
Yes, it wasn't.
So
that.
It's like 5 years of practicing as a doctor under the supervision of an actual doctor.
It was more about privileges. So, like, he had his own clinic that was in its own building.
Was it like a family practice?
It was his own practice. It was just him.
That's usually like a family, like unless you're a specialist.
He would do like all of the appointments there, but then do the actual surgeries in the hospital.
That's always been like that though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Like if you
But it wasn't like...
Was it just like a clinic for consultations?
Yeah, kind of.
Like an office, like a doctor's office. You go to a doctor's office to have a consultation.
There you go.
And then you're at the hospital and that's where you do all the surgeries.
Yeah, but it wasn't a different surgeon. It was him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a thing.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So not all surgeons. So surgeons are, that's a specialty. So it's not like your actual PCP. So your PCP is just like your overall doctor.
Yeah.
And then if, let's say you are having issues with your weight, they might suggest that it's a thyroid problem. So they will send you a refer, or let me just break it down even simpler. The mental health issues, they will refer you to a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
You go see your psychiatrist at the doctor at their office, but it's like if now this psychiatrist is like, oh shit, like you might need brain surgery because you're that fucked up. Like at that point, it's just like a referral.
Yeah.
But you don't meet at the hospital for that.
Unless no, I understand.
It's like a major, super major. So like my sister, I think, got her brain surgery done at Tufts.
Yeah.
So all the consultations happened at Tufts. In the doctor's office. I think that might be a money thing too, though. Because if you can afford your own outside office.
It is, because he would have to market himself as a surgeon. People go to his clinic to choose him, and then they only go to a certain hospital because that's where he has his, like, that's where he does his surgeries.
Right.
At Dallas Medical.
Because if I would assume, knowing that what he's doing, if his office was at the hospital, then he wouldn't be able to practice in other hospitals.
Right, but this he can.
Yes,
yeah.
Because he has a clientele at his office.
Yeah.
And it's just,
yep.
I got you now.
So
that makes sense.
Yeah, I know that was a lot of specifics. Holy shit, we need to move on from this. But, yeah, it was wicked good. If you like crime, medical shit, 100% you'd love it.
Dope. I'm here for it.
Okay. Hit me up with what you got.
So this was actually today. There's this new little series on Netflix called The Movies That Made Us.
And I saw it and I was like, yo, I need to watch this.
So I think the first episode is Pretty Woman. The second episode is Jurassic Park, followed by Forrest Gump, and then Back to the Future. I've watched Pretty Woman. Didn't really...
Do they just interview actors and directors and shit?
No, this is like the people behind the scenes. This is like the behind the scenes of behind the scenes. The behind the scenes of how shit really went down.
Okay. Yeah, right? Yeah.
So I watched Jurassic Park first because I'm a huge fan.
Oh, hell yeah.
So we all know Steven Spielberg. This was like one of his first babies. Or like he was a legend at this point. So this movie was the very first stepping stone to CGI.
Yes.
So he was pretty, like, convinced that he wanted all animatronics and we were going to figure this out. And then there was that one dude who the animatronics guy had said to him, you cannot do this on the computer. It's impossible. But this is also the same guy that worked on Terminator.
Mm.
Right? And he was like, fuck that. If I can make a human face out of a water bubble and make that dude, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
And then make that dude do what he did, I can make a fucking dinosaur on the computer.
Yeah.
And everyone told him, no, you cannot. So shut that shit down and get back to work. So he was like, okay. But he didn't shut that shit down.
Oh, hell no.
He was a genius.
Mm-hmm.
He worked on it on the low. And when the big guys came in to assess what was going on, he had his scene. So he literally built his T-Rex like you would, from bones, and then he threw in muscles skin and details. And he had this like 7-second scene of the T-Rex walking on a loop on his computer monitor. So where the big guys were coming in, they had to go by this particular room, and he had the screen facing
outside.
And when she walked by, she's like trying to walk towards where all the shit was supposed to happen, the big meeting. And she looked and she's like, what's that? Funded. Done. Dunzo. The movie was shot in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
The storm scenes was the actual storm that was happening in Hawaii. I was just, it's nice to see, because you know, like, when you see, like, behind the scenes, or even when they're, like, on a panel and they're being interviewed, they're just very professional, like, oh, it's great work. That's not what this was.
Okay, I'm loving this even more now.
That's not what this was. This is like, dude, I totally shit on this guy, and we almost got fired, but I said, fuck it, I'm gonna do whatever the fuck I want anyways. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love
this
now.
Oh, yeah.
I love
this. It was so good. Then they took, Steven Spielberg is kind of an asshole.
Well.
Because the guy that was like the puppeteer and doing stop animation or whatever, this was his competition, was the computers. And in them green lighting the CGI, he realized like, I'm out of a job. This is it. My career is extinct. Steven Spielberg was like, that's a good line. I'm going to use that in the movie. So when they're going up the stairs and, you know, in the movie, they see the dinosaurs and they're in the museum. He's like, I think we're out of a job. And then oh my God, what's his name? The nerd, the guy, the chaos theory guy.
Oh, Jeff Goldblum.
He goes, I guess you could say you're extinct. That whole
joke
came from an actual conversation that Steven Spielberg was having with the guy having the existential crisis.
I like that. That's beautiful.
What an asshole.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to use that. Like, I'm trying to, like.
Oh, I feel like all movie directors are assholes.
They might be. So that was great. It was just very interesting to see
the real truth sometimes.
Not only that, but like where CGI originated from.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they talk about the technical difficulties with stop animation, and it's like a blur thing. So when stop animation goes from here to here, you miss that blur, that motion. And they had tried to like patch that up with like very light CGI and like little effects and things like that. But this T-Rex was like the first one. So they did say that when you get, like, the full screen of any dinosaur, it's CGI. Mm-hmm. But the close-ups are animatronics.
Yes, yeah.
So
usually just the head
and
arms. Yeah,
so that scene where the T-Rex was, like, in the rain, did you know that the material that he's made out of is spongy? And they planned on, like, well, you know, we're going to have rain, but it'll be, like, behind or way in front. Like, it's not going to get wet. And it did get wet. And that's why the T-Rex got fat.
So no kidding.
I'm pretty sure they talked about this on, like, some behind the scenes somewhere. Because there was a point where they were trying to have the animatronic, like, open its mouth and, like, come over. But because the material that it was made out of was so heavy, it started to, like, seize.
Oh, my God.
And, like, it just was not a good look. And everybody was losing their patience. But they also said that this thing was so big and it moved with such velocity that when the T-Rex whipped his head from side to side, it was like standing on the side of a highway. Like, you just felt that force. Like, that's how massive this thing was. So now, the dinosaur that's on the ground that's really sick.
Yes.
They dug a hole underneath that and there were puppeteers underneath. And I was like, oh my God! But that reaction that you get from everybody that like came on set, like that scene that's in the movie, that's like their genuine reaction. Like, this thing is a living, it felt real, it was breathing. Like, it just, to them, it was just, and I had to go and rent Jurassic Park after I saw that, because I feel like sometimes when you watch behind the scenes shit, you just watch the movie
and appreciate it
with
all the more.
Such appreciation that it's just that good. So my next one is Forrest Gump.
Okay.
Do you know it took 10 years to make Forrest Gump?
Excuse me? 10 years.
In 1991, this man wrote a book about Forrest Gump, and Forrest Gump went to the moon and everything. It was a shit book.
Wow.
But there was this one lady who fell in love with Forrest Gump. And apparently, like, when you turn in a script, it goes in a box, and then there's some guy that opens the box. What's in the box?
Yeah.
Sorry. I couldn't help myself. He opens the box. He reads the script. He might pick, like, one or two to send off somewhere else. The rest of the scripts go back in the box.
Right.
And Forrest Gump had gone into this box, like, 3 fucking times.
Wow.
Because people were just like, nah, this ain't it. So they reworked the script because this guy felt some type of way about it when he read it. And then he went and wrote his own version, and that's where Jenny came to life. And there was just a lot of technical things that were just kind of hindering the making of Forrest Gump. So, like, they got the green light for it, but then the guy that gave the green light retired and some new bitch came in, and usually they just scrap every project and start fresh.
Yeah.
So I kind of did like this thing where like, we're going to put this on hold for 18 months and see how it goes. This getting the actual green light depended a lot on Tom Hanks. Mm-hmm. He got his accent from Forrest, from the kid that played young Forrest.
Oh.
That's his natural accent.
And interesting.
So whenever he did, whenever he was doing like the test runs or the audition with other cast members, he would just use his normal voice
mm-hmm.
until we met young Forrest. And he was like, you know what?
I got to change this
That's
up.
It.
Yeah.
And then the big wigs were like, you are not using that voice. That's not going to happen. This movie cost a lot. It was low budget, but it cost a lot because of all the locations that they yeah. were supposed to use.
When he's in the war, when they're in D.C.
So yeah. what they ended up doing was, is that they went, I think it was one of the Carolinas, and they found this gigantic piece of land that faced, it's like where Forrest's home is.
Yeah.
On that same piece of land, they had Nam. And, like, two other sets.
Wow.
Yes.
That's cool.
So, the whole sequence where he's running across America, mm-hmm. they actually wanted to go to those locations. Hollywood said, Paramount said, absolutely not.
A lot of
We're
money.
Not doing this. There were, I think it was the director and Tom Hanks who took pay cuts to put their own money into this film.
Damn.
And they did all of that on the low. Like, behind the backs of Paramount. So many people got suspended. It's the same thing with Jurassic Park. So many people got suspended because they just went a big fuck you to the fucking industry. And they were like, we're going to fucking make this happen, whether you like it or not, whether it costs my job, whether it costs my money.
And look where it gave them.
And that's like so many awards.
Yeah.
And that's the type of shit that I want to see on the behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see you risk everything for your fucking craft.
Yeah.
That's what I want to fucking see. So I can't even imagine what the Pretty Woman and the Back to the Future one are, but those two alone, I was like, yo, I'm here for this. We need to keep it going.
Yeah. I like that instead of the usual, like, safe, studio approved.
I want to see you talk shit about everybody.
Exactly. Tell me the real story behind the movie.
So Paramount actually sent their people to the Forrest Gump sets to keep an eye on them to make sure they stayed in line. And the director turned around and told this lady, what the fuck are you doing here? Get the fuck off my set. And she was like, bro, like, I'm actually here for this. Like, I'm going to keep your secrets because I love this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it ended up, but it's like, that was the energy that was there. It was just a lot of like, oh, this motherfucker, or I'm not going to say any names, but this person. It was a lot of that.
And
it's the tea of Hollywood. And
I'm here for that.
Loved it. And I was here for it. So,
oh my God.
So good.
It's even better than I thought it was.
Oh, yeah. I know. I wasn't sure what I was in for either. I thought they were going to do, like, an extensive behind the scenes. And instead, it was just a lot of, like, talking shit. And these were all our hurdles. And people thought that this was going to be a fucking
joke.
And
look how amazing it turned out.
Pretty much. Oh, and then the whole Lieutenant Dan thing.
Yeah.
So, they were not sure how they were going to amputate this man.
Oh, yeah.
So that's when, like, the whole blue screen shit came on, and that's what they used. And they try to manipulate the set in a way that... So, like, you know when Lieutenant Dan is sitting at the edge of the boat and he swings his legs over?
Mm-hmm.
The reason why he doesn't really lift his nubbies so high up is because they took a piece of that boat railing off so he could just swing his legs through instead of hoisting them up and over.
Yeah.
Little things like that, right? So... The guy that played Lieutenant Dan...
Gary Sinise.
Didn't really win any awards.
Which is...
Tom Hanks did, the directors, producers, all of that, right?
Gary Sinise is amazing.
But do you know what happened?
What?
I don't know if it was months or a few years after the movie was wrapped or whatever. He was invited by veterans to this thing. And he won an award. An award that was basically an honor to him for playing a wounded veteran.
Aww.
And now he has this huge organization that's dedicated to wounded vets.
Yep, he does.
And there was a guy in there. He's like, you know, I went out, I think it was like in 2014, and I stepped on a landmine in Afghanistan. I lost my left leg and my eye. And I wouldn't have the opportunities that I have now if it wasn't for this man who played. And that was just something like, how does that even happen? Like, you're over here playing a movie, and I'm sure that when people watch this, they kind of take Lieutenant Dan as some sort of joke.
No.
But it's like,
I know that Gary Sinise does all that stuff. So like, he still does it to this day.
I don't think I meant it as, like, a joke, but I think, like, they don't take him as seriously as he might be, because Forrest is the main character.
Yeah.
But I think Lieutenant Dan is just kind of, like, brushed off a little bit, maybe. Like,
when he
just
shouldn't be. He's a big part.
Right. But it's just, the importance of Lieutenant Dan isn't as important as Forrest and his whole thing. And the fact that I felt like he came out of this more rewarded than anybody else is fucking amazing.
Well, when you get awards, too, for movies, it's all political. So
it is.
The greatest actor of all time, like, what you, people think of as, like, why didn't, like, Leo DiCaprio, why didn't he get awards for that? Well, it's because the...
And then when he finally did, I felt like it was just like, oh, well, Hollywood is like, oh, my God, okay, fine, just for, like, people to show up.
I was
going
to say,
like,
it has to be the people who make the movie or produce, I don't know, who, the studio or whatever, have to, like, throw in the nominations themselves in order to be in the pool.
I almost kind of for an award.
It's not like people in the panel of who chooses the winners. I forget what it's called, like the Emmy, the Oscar, or whatever. They don't go out and watch all the movies to see who's better.
They're literally picking names that have happened.
They have to have nominations in their hands from people putting in the information. So it doesn't really feel accurate to me.
I kind of wish Leo never got that award, because it felt so fucking fake. And I'm sure he probably thought the same thing. Yeah. Like, it's nice.
Is he talented?
100. Yeah. Like, he should have gotten that award years and years and years ago.
Based on talent.
Yeah. So the fact that we made noise about it, and now you give him the award. It's like when you ask your guy why he doesn't take you on a date or buy you flowers,
and then he
comes
doesn't
with flowers. Like, does that even? But anyways,
that sounds fantastic.
It's on Netflix. There's just the 4 episodes.
I kind of want him to do it more.
If you're kind of like a huge movie buff, like, I think you should, especially of those 4 movies. Yeah, I think you should watch.
Maybe not
it.
Pretty Woman, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
Do they
really
interview actors at all or no?
Yeah, they do, because even if it was, like, old interviews, but
I know Sam Neill interviews.
What's his name? Is that the, who is
the
that?
The dude from Jurassic Park, the main guy.
Yeah, he's in there. Yeah. He, oh my God, so funny. So he's like, you know, Steven came up to me and he was like, oh, we want you to do an American accent. And that almost told him, like, he almost, like, so when everyone else was offered the roles that they were offered, Steven Spielberg already had his actors picked out. It was just a matter of offering them, and who the fuck is going to say no to Steven Spielberg?
Right.
He almost did, because Steven wanted him to play with an American accent.
And he's like, British.
He, yeah. I don't know. New Zealand?
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Something like Aussie. Something like that. But he was like, I don't like American accent and I don't want to do it. So, but he took the role, and the first few scenes they filmed was him with an American accent. And then Steven was like, you know, why don't you try with your own accent? So then there's more scenes with his normal accent. And then Steven Spielberg came out and he was like, you know that accent that you're doing? And he's like, yeah, my normal accent. He goes, yeah, can you, like, downplay it and Americanize it a little bit more? That's why his accent is all over the fucking... So then he goes, so that's why now people are just sitting there trashing on my fucking American accent. And they don't know is because I did 3 different kinds according to this man. And I never thought of that.
Wow. I never noticed it.
Oh, I did when I watched it right after.
Really?
The very beginning, he's, like, super American. And then, like, throughout the movie, it just, like,
yeah.
It just does this thing. I'm like, what the fuck?
I never noticed that.
But we put so much bullshit on actors. I hate to bring it up again, but Twilight, right? The very first movie was fucking garbage because the director of that movie was a total nitwit.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted it done a very specific way, and her and Steph Meyers clashed so much. And the reason why Bella is as fucking gross and awkward as she is because the director, that's what she wanted. So people are sitting here like, Kristen Stewart can't act. Fuck you. Go watch Charlie's Angels or anything else that she's done outside of it. She's fucking dope.
Yeah.
She knows what she's doing. You have to act according to what the director tells you.
Exactly. Yep.
So if she's telling you to act in this moronic fucking way,
you do it.
And then you end up with trash.
Yeah.
So it's just, I forget that.
Yeah. No, anything else that, it depends on what it is, but yeah, I've enjoyed her in other shit.
Yeah.
Never
she
that,
like,
but
done a whole ton, but the only other thing that I can compare her to is...
That's her cut.
Holy fucking A!
Wait, you didn't know he was leaving? It's cute.
Do you feel better? You do? Yeah. Oh, wait till Kira sees you. I can't wait.
You look so handsome.
Yes. Oh.
She's still sleeping.
All right, I'll be out soon.
What a clean cut, man.
Jesus.
Have you got a haircut?
he was like struggling with his hair because he's always wanted long hair, but he's like, I don't know what
to
do with
it. Will get inspired?
No.
No?
Okay. No. But,
anyway, we should probably wrap this up.
I totally
lost your thought?
Yep. I think I know we were talking about Kristen's story. Oh, she hasn't done a lot, but,
the one I really wanted to see that I haven't yet, but she looks really dope in, is Underwater.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that one either.
I want to see that.
I started the other one where she played an actress who joins the Black Panther.
Oh, yeah.
I started it, but then I never finished it, but I definitely did watch Charlie's Angels, and for all the shit that that movie got, I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So, I wasn't mad at it. But, I don't know. The acting, and you can tell that it's really the director, like, if you really pay attention, especially with those movies, because the first few movies were just really fucking awkward, but those last two was probably the best acting that any of those fucking people ever did, including her. So, just a thing to keep in mind, that sometimes it's not the actor, it's the fucking director that is just completely lost touch with everything.
Yeah.
Inside of all of it. So, I gotta get ready for work. No, I gotta get ready for a nap before I go to work.
I was gonna say. Okay, that's a really long episode, so.
Oh, well, good for you
guys.
We'll
see you next time.
Bye, guys.